It's Martin Luther King Day, and we end the hour with a Syrian-American who's adopted phrases from the civil rights movement for his own cause. He's 31-year-old rapper Omar Ofendim, although that's not his real name. His parents are from Syria. His mom and sister were there until very recently, and he uses a stage name to protect them from retribution in response to his lyrics. You may remember Omar from his anthem to the Arab Spring, hashtag 25, released days before Egypt's Hosni Mubarak stepped down. The tomb is rotten, homeless. We're making headway, chanting down the dictators, getting rid of dead weight. Open. Well, now he's turned to his parents' homeland. Omar joins us from NPR West. Omar, what's it been like to watch the civil war in Syria from here?
Well, I mean, you know, I grew up watching TV and watching the news the way any average American would, and clicking through channels and kind of seeing different conflicts just come and go, you know, and so kind of coming full circle and starting to see a conflict in Syria, a country that I know very well. My father, may God rest his soul, was from Hama, and my mother from Damascus. And so I've been there many times in my life, and all of a sudden starting to see and hear, you know, people with voices that were familiar to me and accents that were familiar to me, and seeing, you know, the imagery of the destruction of places that I know, you know, it really, really hits home. But at the same time, I can kind of see how the average American gets overwhelmed by it and doesn't really know how to relate, how to be involved, and ultimately, you know, gets numb to it. You know, there's a saying that's been passed around quite a bit, al-ya's khiyana, which means hopelessness is betrayal. And so, you know, I feel that as someone of Syrian descent, that this type of situation, which is so tragic, you know, there's an opportunity for us to do something, and not just because I'm Syrian, but because I am an American.
Well, in fact, we mentioned your song about Egypt, hashtag Jan25. Here's a new song you've written, hashtag Syria.
Of these verses is to unify the masses. Humps up to Hesek, and yes to Damascus. City streets to countrysides, mountaintops to coastal tides. Muslim, Christian, women, men, and children, let's keep hope alive. Stand in solidarity with
a little of hashtag Syria from Omar Ofendim, again, a Syrian American. He's written about conflicts in other lands, but now writing about your parents' home country. How scary was this to write this, though?
The day that I actually written those verses, it was kind of the bloodiest day in Hama, and, you know, it was the first day of Ramadan in 2011. And I didn't end up releasing the song until, you know, the 1 year anniversary. And I had to essentially wait for, you know, my mother and my sister's blessing to put it out, because I knew I would be putting them in a very precarious position by releasing music like this. You know, my family received a warning by virtue of me even making music about Egypt and being on Al Jazeera. So it was very difficult. And for me to know that I'm sitting here, you know, in the comfort of my home in Los Angeles and putting out something that could affect someone's life, someone so important to me, you know, halfway across the world, it was a very, you know, difficult thing to do.
Well, we know you were aware of the danger because you've spoken about a Syrian-American pianist who played at a rally in D.C., and his family, what, was attacked back in Syria?
Yeah. You know, Malik Jendali, a phenomenal composer and piano player, and now, you know, humanitarian and activist as well, had basically composed a really beautiful song with no words. By virtue of him playing at a rally in D.C., in which he stressed that this was simply for the youth of Syria and for freedom, just by saying that, his parents back in Homs had, I guess, you know, some thugs beat down their door and handcuff them and beat them up and throw them in a bathtub. And fortunately, someone was able to find them and you know, get them out. And then there's the tragic story of Brahim Qashush, who's from the city of Hama, where my father was from, who was leading the protest chants and whose voice is actually featured on the song. His body was found floating in the Orontes River because he was saying these things that had angered the regime. And his vocal cords were literally ripped out. And, you know, by doing that, they were trying to send a message to people to not speak up, but they ended up immortalizing this man, his message, his words, and it's now something that's sung all over the world.
You know, Omar, I'm wondering, how is it that you ended up growing up in Washington, D.C.? What did your family do that you traveled so much?
You know, I was actually born in Saudi Arabia. My father ended up landing a job in Washington, D.C., which is where we ended up moving. And it meant a lot to him to come here to the United States, being from Hama. It was just 1 month after I was born that the city where he was from suffered a horrific massacre in which the father of the current president, Bashar al-Assad, was responsible for a horrific massacre in which upwards of 10 to 30,000 people perished within the span of a week. And that type of scenario ended up, you know, creating a huge amount of fear within the Syrian population, driving a lot of people out. And so, you know, my father was never allowed to go back to Syria for various reasons, namely because he had decided to send money back to help his widowed sister and cousins and try to get people out. And so for him to come here to the U.S. and to get citizenship and to give us the opportunity to have an education here was really important to him.
Well, and as you mentioned, he has passed, and you've written a song about him. Let's listen to a little of that. It's called Father's Day.
Yeah. We've grown numb to imagery of death and demise, blind to St. Paul till he saw a Syrian sky miles away, wars preying on interior styles. Our deaf fears still ain't hearing they cries. Why is it even worth asking anymore when guilt is but a swinging door with crooked men on either side cushioning each other's fall? Orphans hiding from a devil with dark wings and writers with a conscience fill it pluck at our heartstrings.
Omar, it's obvious that your thoughts are now with family, with home country. You grew up in Washington, listening to Outkast and Jay-Z, translating Langston Hughes poems into Arabic. But what about when you decided to pick up rap? What was your family's reaction?
You know, I remember the first day that I'd actually recorded something and came over to my sister's place and played it for her. My mother wasn't there yet. And then, you know, a few minutes later, as we were playing the song, she walks in and she's like, huh. Who is this African-American rapper talking about Palestine? And my sister looks over to her and she's like, oh, that's your son, Omar. So, you know, I don't think she expected it. But she was also the one who kind of instilled a real love for and deep appreciation for poetry and for spoken words, specifically Arabic poetry. And all that just kind of slowly infused in the sponge that was my brain and became Omar Effendim.
Yeah. Well, you've told us that you have a new song. Can you just recite a little for us?
Absolutely. Now, I would never judge a man who acts in self-defense or belittle the peacekeepers who have to mend the fence. But the problem with these vengeance cycles that they never end, and thus the profiteers of violence never had a better friend. Opportunists come in droves, gun running, smuggling. Journalists be parachuting, families is juggling. 4 to 5 weddings and funerals any given time. Mortify, rounds of ammunition, mama says it's fine. Yep, yep, mama says it's fine, everything's gonna be okay. But I could sense the fear from 7,000 miles away. How could I just forget it? That's why I put it in a verse. I don't do this stuff for critics. I don't spit it for a purse. After all, what's more shameful than the praise of fools? See, chasing after fame, that's how you play the fool. That's 5 of beans to offend them, just to play the fool. I ate it on my way to school like every day. I hold it down like every day. That's for my people. You know I hold it
down for my people. And that is Syrian-American rapper Omar Effendim. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And you can learn more about Omar. He's going to be in a play in Los Angeles at hereandnow.org. From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Here and Now.
Well, it's some Arab wives, Stacy girls, black, Asian, Latin mothers lost in this crazy world. Refugees, no lack in numbers. Not fed, no bread, no beds, no satin covers. Plenty of the enemy combatants hover. Put your trust in no one. Don't practice no illegal shh. Just keep it moving, people moving. When them needles hit, gavel drop, travel channel, camel hump, saddle rock, battle drums, off a military base.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.